said he would do. Saints, do you believe God? Do you believe what he said? He said, when you turn from the evilness that you're doing, and see, what God calls evil is not what we call evil. We call an old evil attitude. We just think that's all that we will mean, an evil attitude. But God calls evil anytime you don't do what he say, anytime you do wrong, anytime that you don't obey him, he call that evil. That's what God calls evil. So you may say, well, I don't have a lot of sin in my life. I don't have no evil stuff in my life. Saints of God, if you even allow an evil thought to run through your mind, do you know who hears that thought? The Bible said, I hear your thoughts before you even think them. So how you think he don't know what you're thinking? You could just be sitting down and you could look up at somebody. That's an ugly person. Look how she dressed. How he, you know, anything that comes to our mind, if we allow it to come, it's going to keep coming, because that's the way Satan is. He keeps coming. He don't stop just because we stop. He keeps coming. So the only way we can stop him is by changing that thought. If you have a thought that say, look, just stop it right there and say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that thought. Then we don't have to think that thought. He said, don't give no thought to the devil. Whenever he's doing something and saying something to you, you don't have to take that thought. He said, take no thought. So you have to let that thought go, saints of God. So we're getting into this lesson, and we're the main point of this lesson is that we have to remember that there shall be a performance of the word of God. This is what I want you to remember. There shall be a performance of the word of God. So we're in this pandemic, and we are still hearing the thousands and thousands and hundreds of people that are still dying every day. And so what is the recourse of man's thinking? Well, it must not be working. But what is the recourse of God's thinking? When you're thinking like God tell you to think, there shall be a performance of the word of God. Saints of God, there will be a performance of the word of God. All we have to do is don't faint, don't quit, don't stop, don't become bored, don't become indifferent. Let's remember what God says. Mary and Elizabeth, they believed what God said. And the moment they believed, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory to God. The moment they believed, they received the things that God said they would receive. Mary received Jesus in her womb, and Elizabeth received John. And we know who John was. John was the baptizer. He even baptized Jesus. He was the forerunner for Jesus Christ. He came preaching, repent, 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 because the one that's coming after me is greater than I. He's so great, I can't even reach down and tie his shoes. He's so great. So, saints of God, we serve a great God, a true and a living God. So let's not forget that. When we're going through this predicament of this coronavirus, let's remember that there shall be a performance of the word of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Want Man broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bear or Spiritual Want Man Ministry at P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
71307. Tune in every Tuesday at first, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Would you stand and turn your Bibles to St. John chapter 15? I want to look at verse 9. I want us to launch off from there, if you don't mind. St. John chapter 15, verse 9. Won't be before you long this morning. Simple message. Simple message. When you have it, say amen. Let's begin reading now. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. These words were spoken by Jesus to his disciples, the men whom he called and committed to the ministry that he had begun in the earth realm that would transform planet Earth as they had previously known it. The greatest power that these men were going to be exposed to in greater and more greater reality was wrapped up in this word called love. It is more powerful than any power that man has ever known. Greater than all of man's, you know, artillery and all of his firepower and all of his ability to destroy. Love is a greater power than all that man could muster up or even conceive. And Jesus wants to reveal that to his disciples. He begins by saying, as the Father wants to be clear where the love is sourced from, where it comes from, who is, again, the originator of this love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now that's powerful. It doesn't seem quite clear to those who just read that as it appears, but there are so many profound thoughts and meanings behind the fact, as the Father hath loved me. Now this is the only begotten of the Father, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, talking about his heavenly Father's love for him. And on that level, Jesus says, so have I loved you. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, but we're the begotten of Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus, we would not have access to the Father. So he's letting us know in no uncertain terms the ability of love to transcend everything about man and to be wrapped up in love itself in order to love one who is not worthy of that love. It is powerful beyond one's imagination or comprehension. You don't understand that the love of God is so great, so rich, so pure, so awesome, so mighty that none could ever attain to that love unless God was willing to share it. Not one of us could ever return the love back to God that Lord, that God gave to us without his love being a part of it. And so when he talks about this, I want us to see this because he's going somewhere. He's going somewhere. Follow him. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now he tells his disciples, continue ye, you, in my love. Why is love so important? Because I got news for you. If you just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when Paul is talking about, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, charity, he calls it, he says, sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. And then he goes on down, second and third verse, where he's talking about giving his support and then ultimately giving his body to be burned. That's a sacrifice. So he moves from sound to support to sacrifice. But listen to what he says. With all of that, if he didn't have love, it profited him nothing. It's worthless. You see, when you do acts of kindness, and the kindness is not motivated by love, well, the person that you help might temporarily receive that blessing, but you won't receive the corresponding blessing because it wasn't done in love. It wasn't motivated with love. That was some ulterior motive you had behind doing it so that you could get something, be seen, receive praise, or whatever the case was, so that that person or others would be beholden to you. Listen, there are three reasons why people give to you. One is to bless you. One is to bless you. But there's another reason why people give to you. Two, so that folk might be beholding to you or beholding to them. In other words, you know, folk like to throw stuff in your face, what they did for you. You know, they never let you forget what they did. Now, you can't sing the song, I Can't Forget, because they won't let you forget. And that's the third reason why folk give you, to buy you. Now you say, what do you mean to buy you? See, there are some people who give to you to own you, to own your choices, to own your love, to own your will, so that you will be, again, answerable to them. You know, they want you to like what they like, hate what they hate. They want you to follow what they say, or else they'll cut you off because they figure you owe them. And see, Jesus is trying to introduce them to a love far so much more superior than the love that man knows. Look at what verse 10 says. If thou wilt keep my commandment. He's talking about this now. He says, it's important for you to understand. If you keep my commandment, you shall abide in my love. If you keep my commandment, you shall abide in my love. What does that mean? Well, Jesus is saying simply, that if you honor my word, the command that I give to you, then you're going to abide in my love. Because when you love someone, you honor them, you obey them, you respect them. And you will do what they ask of you, especially when they love you first. as God loved Jesus, and Jesus loves us. And so he's saying to them, I've demonstrated my love to you as I have loved you. He's given to them a love beyond what they're able to comprehend. It makes them scratch their head and wonder, why does he love me like that? Why does he care for me? Why does he do for me like that? Why does he call me? Why does he have me to be a part of his ministry? Whatever he does out of love. Amen. And when we begin to understand the force behind Jesus Christ is his love for us because of the love of his Father for him, we then follow him like he followed God. If you keep my commandment, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, he's showing you relationship. He's showing you him and his Father's relationship, and he's showing you him and our relationship or his disciples' relationship. He's trying to show you all of this is connected by relationship. If you keep my commandment, that means you keep my word, you keep my will, you keep my way in your mind, in your conscious state of being, so that you honor me in whatever you do. Amen. Now, he says this, moving to verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He's saying, listen, I want to think of you and have joy. I want my joy to remain in you. I want to, when I think of you, joy bubbles up on the inside of me. One, because not only do I love you, but you love me and you obey my commandments as I've obeyed my Father's commandments. See, there's an order here. There's a structure here. It begins with the Father, goes through the Son, and it is given to us to continue in the earth realm. You can't say you love God and don't love your brother whom you've never, listen, God you've never seen, but your brother whom you see every day. We can't get holier than thou and think we're all of that and can't worship with our brothers and sisters. Can't extend a good morning with a good heart, with love in our hearts. Can't speak well to, listen, if you got aught against your brother, God says, go to him. If you're right, if you're real, if you're honest, listen, you might have the problem, but you know what? If it is against your brother, it is your responsibility. You know what? I've got some issues with you. And I can't sleep at night because my thoughts aren't right about what I'm thinking and feeling. You hurt my feelings. You mistreat me. You did it. What? Go to him. Here's what the devil don't want you to do. Communicate. Do you know how many folk are in the grave today because of misunderstandings? Because they misunderstood somebody, misunderstood what they said, misunderstood their action, misunderstood their thought, but they wouldn't take time to talk about it. Somebody hates you and don't know you, that's satanic. Ain't never done you nothing, you hate me. For what? Then when you try to call them on the carpet, well, what you hate them about? I don't know, I don't like them. He think he's something, I am something. I'm something because he made me something. You something, but you're acting like nothing because you won't do what he said do. All have sinned. Before you get to getting too high on your horse here. All have sinned. Before you get to pointing the finger and judging somebody else by what you heard, wasn't there, didn't hold no flashlight, ain't got no facts, what you heard. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, God doesn't glory in you when you sin. So it's important to understand, Jesus wants to have joy when he thinks about you. Just like when we say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul rejoices, shouts, gives him glory, praises his name. Why? Because of the joy. But then you know there are some people whose names you call, there's grief. Just the mention of their name brings rain. Then there are others, when you mention their name, it's like, I got sunshine on a cloudy day. See, it all has to do with the communication, what has interplayed between you. And whatever is not right, you have a Christian responsibility, especially as it relates to relationship, if we are brothers and sisters in Christ. In Christ. So then, here's where he gives the commandment now, because he told them, keep my commandment. Now, verse 12 reveals the commandment. What does verse 12 say? This. Read it. All right. Now he's saying it's not a serious suggestion. It's not a sacred suggestion. Here it is. It is a command. This is my commandment. The one who loved you first, the one who loved you best, the one who loved you most is saying to you, spread the love. Spread it. He didn't love you so you can hate others or dislike others or not love others. He sent his love to you so he could send it through you. People don't really know you belong to the Lord if the love of Christ is not shed abroad in your heart. There's just something about people who love the Lord and the Lord loves that bubbles all out of them. You can be having a horrible day, and somebody who truly woke up this morning with the Lord on their mind, with joy in their heart, when they see you, the bubbling joy of the Lord is all over them. And when they say good morning, it's like it infuses life in you. You look at them like, what is wrong with them? But I like it. You know it's something you ain't got. You do not have. And if you don't have that love of Jesus, you can't have that kind of joy. Troubles come to all of us. But do you know the power of the love of God in your heart, where he gives you joy in the midst of sorrow? Hurting as much as one could hurt, and yet Jesus, when you experience his love, brings a joy that is unspeakable. You can't even tell folk Why are you smiling when you ought to be crying? You can't even tell folk why your hope is so great when it looks like your world is crumbling down. But that love of Jesus that he says must be spread abroad as I have loved you as. So here's what the point is. Every time you want to treat folk in a way that Jesus didn't treat you, check yourself. Anytime you want to say something to people that Jesus didn't say to you, check yourself. Anytime you want to text something about somebody and it ain't holy and it ain't right, and you passing on gossip and you are, you know, bringing somebody's character and reputation down and Jesus didn't do it to you, check yourself. If you're not doing like Jesus did, as, listen, what you're saying to Jesus is, do to me what I just did to my brother. Do to me what I just did to my sister. Because you showed me how it ought to be, but I'm acting like I'm not connected to you. Is anybody listening in the house? So much animosity among brothers and sisters. If any of you have ever come from a good family, you know your parents didn't let you fuss and fight with your brother and sister. It gets started, but it wouldn't last long if it got in the ear of mama or daddy. They'll remind you, that's your sister. That's your brother. No, you don't talk to your sister like that. You don't talk to your brother like that. You know, you share, you love, you know, brothers are born for adversity. That means you can call them in the midnight hours. They're supposed to come. Friend doesn't have to do that. But that's a real friend when he or she does do that. When you're hurting, you ought to be able to call family. But he's talking about beyond family. He's talking about a love that's thicker than blood. This love is so thick that it goes beyond blood. Blood is limited to the earth. The love he has is eternal. It didn't start on earth, and it's not going to end on earth. That's the love of God. God is love. And we who say we're loved by God ought to have signs. There ought to be something about you. People at work ought to be able to see that. It's just, you know what? If you went to church today and go to work tomorrow and still act like a hypocrite, something wrong with you. If somebody says something to you and you look at them with a look that curses them worse than your mouth could ever curse them, something's wrong with you. If the Lord that you are connected with, who commands you to love one another, and he based it on the love that he's given us, as I have loved you. You think about it every time. You pray for someone, you do someone, you talk about someone, you think about the love. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came down when we were messed up. But what do we do when people are messed up? We talk about them. We kick them to the curb. We stay from around them. We get with our groups and our folk, and we form our opinions. We analyze their downfall. We act like, oh my God, how horrible are they? But oh, if God.